next speaker, Dr. Ehsan Ghane, who is now at the University of Minnesota on a postdoc. Ehsan?
I'm going to be talking about what's your properties after 4 years in a denitrification bed. We're all aware of the problem of excess nitrate. Obviously, that's why we're in this session here. And we had Marta talk a little bit about these, which is bioreactors. So I'm going to be focusing on the hydraulics parts. So one method that can help with the problem of excess nitrate is a conservation practice called denitrification bed. It's also known as a wood chip bioreactor. So when the water from the subsurface drainage system comes in, we intercept it with the control structure. And then from the control structure, water gets diverted inside a bed. The bed is filled with wood chip in our case. And through the process of denitrification, the nitrate gets converted into nitrogen gas. So in our study, in our research, we were interested in the wood chip properties of the wood chips. So because we wanted to take that data and optimize the nitrate removal of these systems. So we needed those properties to do that. And we also did not want to work with fresh wood chips that we would go and buy. We were interested in the old wood chips because we think that's what represents the wood chips under natural conditions, because it's gone under many saturations and it's got partial decomposition in it. So that's what we were interested in. So that's why we took two parameters. We focused on permeability and drainable porosity of these old wood chips because we wanted to use those to optimize the nitrate removal. And also, obviously, these values are used in the design of wood chip bioreactors. But these values, the values for these parameters are kind of scarce. There's only one study in Ohio that worked with permeability of the old wood chips. They had two-year-old wood chips in that study. This is the location of the site. You can see it's near the city of Wilmer. The wood chips at that site were 4 years old, hence our title, 4 year old wood chip properties. So the site is about 2.5 hours drive from here, but it's a really longer drive if you have to go there every day. So much more than 2.5 hours drive, but I like it. So we had four year old wood chips, and this is a photo of the site. And this is approximately where the wood chip bioreactor is underground. We think that's where it is approximately. And because we can't see it because we got a soil cover on top of the wood chip bed. And this is how we took samples. So we used a backhoe. We went in, we took the soil cover off, and we went all the way to the bottom. So we would get the wood chips from the bottom 60 or 50 centimeters from the bottom. So we took those wood chips, we brought them back to the lab. And we used this permeameter to do our work with. So we used municipal tap water. It goes into this white tank and the water goes from bottom to top. So we have upward flow, which minimizes preferential flow. Here you can see the manometers where we read the head so we could calculate head loss. And finally, when the water flows out from the top, it goes into this bucket here where we measure the flow rate. And also we have a thermometer there, it's a digital one. It reads 24.4 at this time. But we used to have one of those older ones. It took a long time to make readings. But this made our job really easy. It's just right there, we make a reading. So we are happy about finding that. We actually haven't returned it to its owner. I think it's belongs to ARS. So we took the data from the column and we wanted to plot the data in this graph here. If you can see, there we got hydraulic gradient on the horizontal axis, which is calculated as delta H, the head loss using the manometers I showed you, divided by the length over which head loss occurs. And on the vertical axis, we have specific discharge, which is flow rate divided by area of flow, which in our column case, it's the area of the column. So we increase the hydraulic gradient step by step, and with each increase, we recorded the specific discharge, the value on the y-axis. So, but we did that at constant outflow temperature because we didn't want temperature variations along the duration of the experiment to affect specific discharge and hydraulic conductivity. So we did that. We made sure we're running the test at constant hydraulic conductivity based on our settings. So, and this is what the data looks like. We have here, you can see, we clearly see departures from linearity here. So in other simple words, if Darcy's law were valid, then these blue dots would follow a straight line. But they don't. So we can't use Darcy's law to describe water flow through Wuchi bioreactors. So we looked for an alternative. We decided to use Forsheimer's equation because it's a state-of-the-art equation. It describes linear and post-linear, where we get into the curve area. So it works for both. So the equation is I hydraulic gradient equal to 1 over K. K is hydraulic conductivity in centimeters per second. Q is specific discharge, plus omega is a constant, which relates to non-Darcy effects, and Q squared finally. So the omega Q squared is what makes this equation be able to account for that non-Darcy flow. So what's the difference between this equation and Darcy's equation? Well, like I said, omega is that non-Darcy component. So if we set omega equal to zero, that means that we have linear flow, Darcy flow. If we do that, this is what we get. So if you look at that equation at the end, that's familiar. Obviously, that's Darcy's equation. So in other words, Forsheimer's equation is an extension of Darcy's law, which accounts for that non-Darcy flow because it's got a quadratic component. It can account for that curvature. So we use this equation. So, like I said, we use Fourier-old wood chips, and for the sake of time, I'm going to show you just two of those runs. We had several runs, but I'm going to show you two of them to tell you what they're about. So we have tests. Run 1 and 2 are independent from each other. By that I mean that when we finished running run 1, so we took the wood chips out, and then we put the other untouched wood chips that we brought for the field in it. So it was a whole new compaction setting. But the compaction, we tried to replicate the same thing that we did, and you can see the numbers are kind of similar. So here we got intrinsic permeability, which is independent from temperature. We have omega that we talked about, that's the non-Darcy component. So the higher that is, the more non-Darcy that we have. And then we got hydraulic conductivity at 12 degrees C. I have to mention here that these two were conducted at different temperatures. For example, they were at 13 or 15. But in order to compare them, we needed to bring them at one temperature. So I converted them using the dynamic viscosity, so that's at 12 degrees C. And finally, we got drainable porosity of about 41%. So let's see what do these values look like compared to the in-situ values that we found and we verified in Ohio. So there, if you look at this circle there, you see the K, 4.5 centimeters per second, is very close to the values in the laboratory. You see omega, relatively close, still identifies as non-Darcy, but it's slightly higher, but relatively close. 0.88 in the field, 0.41 and 0.52 in the laboratory setting. And finally, we found a 45% drainable porosity in the field, where we found 0.41 in the laboratory setting. So the point here is that setting that we found, K came to be very close to the field conditions. So if you're doing, and if we're doing any other studies, we want to investigate this even more, do nitrate studies in the column, we would, you know, have to be very close, kind of try to be close to that kind of setting in terms of how we can pack these wood chips in the column and how many times we drop the weight on top of those wood chips. The other point I want to make here is that we use drainable porosity versus using total porosity of say 70% or higher. We didn't do that because that total we think that total is 70% is includes that internal wood internal pores inside that wood chip particle. So in other words, it's that water that is inside that wood chip particle, and that does not have a significant effect on that water flow through the wood chip. So that's why we use drainable porosity. It includes the interconnected pores that helps us model and determine how fast water goes through that system. So just to give the idea what will happen if we use Darcy's versus say a Forsheimer's equation to design one of these systems. So I'm going to show that with an example here. We have, assume we have a tile subsurface drainage system with a peak flow of 0.04 liters per second, and we design it to have a 5 meter width versus 15 meters length. And then we have our stop lock settings at 0.9 meters, which is 3 feet, and the one, that was the inlet side. So, and then the outlet side would have a 0.15 meter, that's 7 inches in the outlet. So we designed it at 12 degrees C and at zero slope. We're using the simplest scenario, because if we have a slope, then the equations will become slightly more complicated, but we use zero. So we're gonna, I'm gonna talk about the percent peak flow treated, because NRCS has a standard that says you have to treat 15% of the water or the peak water that comes from the tile drainage system with your bed. So 15%, keep that in mind. So what happens if you use Forsheimer's? Well, for Forsheimer's, we get about 10% of that treated. But then if you use Darcy's, which is basically just setting that omega equal to zero, like I said, we don't have non-Darcy, so we get a 15.3%. And we see here that although we may think we passed that standard, but the truth is that we're only treating that 10% of that peak flow that's coming in. So the reason for that is obviously because Darcy over predicts or overestimates that peak flow. So this also has implementation in actual hydraulic tension time, which makes that underestimated. We're not going to get into that at this time. So if you forgot, if you may forget, you know, everything that I talked about, well, remember these take-home messages. Forsheimer's equation describes water flow through wood chip bioreactors because of the non-Darcy component of flow. And the implementation is that if we use Darcy's, like I showed you with an example, if you use Darcy's, we're going to get overestimation of the capacity of the bed, and then that causes that percent peak flow treated to be higher than standard that we think we're getting. So that's the implementation of that with the standard. And so basically we want to take this information and use it to optimize the nitrate removal in terms of the hydraulics and engineering points. With that, I'd like to thank you for your attention. No. So the question is that were there changes in the conductivity? We had 2 years first in the Ohio. We compared it to 4 years, and they were basically not many, were very similar. So what, based on what I understand, after the initial operation time of the bed, we reached a steady period that it moves. It's kind of steady for long periods of time. So it would be, if we use a 10-year-old or 15-year-old, which is, that would be something interesting to do.
We'll be talking about it.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you, Rafael.